Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 281.
We're gonna party like it's 2023.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister,
and I'm back, and I'm Pandalicious.
That's right, the ESH chicks are in the building once again with a brand new episode of our weekly podcast submitted for your approval.
Hello.
Speaking of which, we probably ought to start sending our stuff over to N4G because we haven't really sent a lot of stuff over there.
I haven't sent anything.
I know, but seeing as how you're the community manager, we should probably get you on that.
Yes.
But in the meantime,
if I had glasses, I would adjust them professionally.
Here's the thing. In my mind, I saw you do that.
Okay, good. Good. We're on the same page.
Yeah. In here, like visually, you did that.
I'm on that.
Yeah. Yeah. But in the meantime, in between time, it is time once again for us to talk about a couple of our more favorite and, dare I say, things that we have direct passion for.
I have raging passion for this shit. It's raging right now. You can't see it. Well, you could see it.
I'm, see, any response that I make to that is just gonna be
like,
bad.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, no, don't want to say that.
I have a clue. I have a raging clue. Let's follow your clue.
Your clue is pointing in the right direction. Anyway, we've got nerd stuff to talk about today.
What else? I mean, what
I know,
else can
but
we talk
we've
about?
Got, we've got the stuff that we're really like, kind of like.
Well, yeah, I just went, like a couple of minutes ago.
We have squee-worthy stuff to talk about today.
Agreed.
That was really, like, subdued. I'm very proud of you.
I had to contain that.
Seriously, I can see your grin from, like, literally it's ear to ear, people.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how that's not actually a painful grin for you.
It will be later.
Okay. So, first up, we've got stuff to talk about on the convention tip. Especially because Pandalicious is back this week.
Yes!
Live in the studio. I just like saying that. In the studio.
Oh, you hated when I made that reference.
I know, but now that we actually kind of sort of have one.
It makes more sense.
It makes more sense. And so now I'm kind of feeling it.
Right.
Okay. That's all I'm getting at. Like, I retract my haterade.
Well, you, like, spread it around so long ago, and my crops did not grow because of your hater.
And I apologize for messing up your crops, dude.
See, like, I had to go re-soot the whole thing.
Seriously, from the bottom of my heart, I apologize for that haterade.
That's okay, because the flower still sprung from it.
Yeah.
So from your most foul hate sprung the most purest of joys.
Truly, truly, I am sorry. I has a sad.
No, don't have a sad. It's okay. I forgive you.
All right, good. I feel good about that.
But yes, I am back this week, and I have some really
nerd stuff.
I have some great news. So let's get into it. First and foremost, I want to talk about PAX East.
Yeah, upcoming PAX nerd party with the gamers and the things and the ones that go boing, 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 pew, 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 pew.
And the roll for initiative, or roll for charisma.
Yeah, that.
There's tabletop gaming there also.
Yep.
So yes, the third installment of PAX East will be making its return. It's return.
Triumphantly.
Here to the Bean Town in April. Conveniently on Easter weekend. And also doubly convenient on the weekend of Anime Boston.
Yep. Double booking.
So I feel like it's going to be like a West Side Story between the anime geeks and the gamer geeks. And we're going to have people like, stay cool, boy. And people are going to like fight and dance in the streets.
They will not be dancing in the streets unless there's a flash mob. Then they might
that
be
or someone is holding a slash dance sign.
Okay, yeah, that dude, that would be awesome.
They did that the first year. Some dude had a slash dance sign.
Dude, I might actually make that sign.
It should be like a,
or it might be my shirt.
It should be a random, like it should be your shirt, and like you walk around somewhere
and flash
waiting
people?
For, and you just open it up and just see if people just start listen to music in their minds and start dancing. Yes. Or I could carry like a little baby boombox and be like,
you just put the iPad out. Just yeah. like turn it on. See what happens.
Totally do like a say
Dude,
anything
you
moment.
You could use the Banner Free app on the iPad and just say Slash Dance. Oh, see where this
nerd
is going?
Nerd
we haven't even
parties.
Gotten to the news yet. We're just off on a nerd tangent because we're so excited about PAX East.
Yes.
It's so awesome to have a convention that's, one, easy for us to get to.
Super easy. Like, it's in our fucking backyard.
Like, literally. It, like, literally is in our backyard. It's, like, 20 minutes away, which is awesome. So there's no flight. Yay!
Doubly yay for me since I don't like heights.
Yeah. Candelicious does not like to fly.
Nope.
But it's just really nice to, one, once again be back at the BCEC,
mm-hmm.
which is our largest convention space in the Boston area.
Yep.
It's nice to, once again, be in Back Bay because there's, frankly, really great food. Back there.
There's great food in the Back Bay, but where the BCEC is in the Back Bay...
Yeah, you gotta travel.
You're in the industrial area.
Yeah, so you basically have 4 restaurants, and they're all upscale restaurants.
Yeah.
So they're not cheap, but they are fucking delicious. Like that Johnny's in the Back Bay corner?
Yeah.
That shit is
But I mean,
delicious.
If you travel a little further into the Back Bay, then you'll get, like, the whole pavilion area, like, right near the Heinz Convention.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of... little mini bistros
like,
up in that area.
You have a taste
area.
Of the world. You can, you know, go to a pub, you can get some...
It's a cornucopia of flavors for
Korean
your mouthpiece.
Barbecue. I mean, it's just, it's deliciousness.
You be so, cool for my mouth, please, Kay, thanks.
Bye! But it's just nice to, and I don't want to get too much into your news, but, because I know that you're beaming. And
I
you're
am
just ready to
with
jump
this
with
news.
It. But I will say that it is just really cool to... have a convention for us, by us, in our backyard.
Yes. And with that said, since you're already...
You're drum rolling it. You like that setup? Okay, I'm
believe it or not...
knock it out of the park.
Who sent this to us initially? I think it was...
Picking up the notes.
Game Informer. Game Informer dropped this news... on the 15th, so I'm a little late on it, but I wanted to actually delve into it.
Panda was AFK.
Yeah, I was not available.
Yep, you were BRB.
I was MIA.
And not
boys A. How many? But yeah, so Game Informer dropped the news on the 15th, and they pretty much let us know that the PAX East organizers re-signed their contract with our convention center authority, pretty much saying that PAX East will now always happen in Boston, at least until 2023.
Yeah, so basically they signed the agreement that said PAX East is committed to being in Boston through 2023.
At least.
At minimum.
Minimum.
Woo-woo!
So there we go. There, boom, there you go, Boston. There you go. You got a place for your games and your shits and games. Games.
Gamers in Boston, just so that you know... you got COVID. You got the hookup.
You all set, dude. All
right?
You all set.
So you just roll into Back Bay, you know, bring your friends. It's going to be wicked.
Bring
excited.
Your girlfriends.
I mean, you could bring your girlfriends, whatever. You know, it's going to be wicked.
It's going to be super off the hook.
It's going to be off the hook. It's going to be, like, crazy. It's going to be ludicrous. And at least for 2023. And then, you know, it's going to continue because Boston is the best. Just in case you didn't know.
Bean Town represent, motherfucker!
Sorry, that was my Bostonian coming out. I'm gonna be okay now.
Anyway, so when I heard this news first, I was like, super mega yay! And then I was like, but what does this really mean besides super mega yay?
Yay, not gay.
mega yay.
Not mega gay?
Well, I mean, it's mega gay as in super happy awesome, because, you know, gay is like another form of happiness.
It is.
Within its own right.
Mm.
But
gay
really,
makes me happy.
Gays make you happy?
Yes. I love the gays.
I love my gays.
I love your gays.
I need more gays.
You do need more gays.
I should have a shirt that says that.
I can make that happen.
That'd be awesome.
My gays are awesome.
Yes, you have
they
like,
help me coordinate.
You have like a super gay connection.
I am part of the gay coalition. Just in case you didn't know.
So anyway, but like I said, I was seriously thinking, what does this mean for Boston?
Money! Sorry.
That is one of my bullet points. So,
wait. So yes. Wait.
I have notes.
Bitch,
this week.
You made a bulleted list?
I typed words.
Holy crap. You need to BRB more often.
You know, I'm beginning to think that.
You come back like prepared.
Oh man,
shit.
I'm like ready to rock.
I am like, dude, do your thing. I want to see what happened with this bulleted list.
So like I said, that's the big news. It's been extended to at least 2023. So
not 2023, 2023.
2023.
Thank you.
Anyway, but initially the contract was only supposed to stay in place up until this year. However,
1999.
I'm going to like 1998. Anyway, we're going back one more year for the pre-hype. Woo-hoo! Of the 99. No, but initially the contract was only going to withstand up until 2012. So what made Boston change its mind? Well, I don't know. Let's say during their initial run, oh, I don't know, 70,000 people
around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all.
Yes, the money is pretty big. We saw some revenue in a city, in a state that, well, it's kind of hurting for some revenues right now.
It's not that, I mean, every state is hurting for revenue.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, you know, whenever you have a convention that comes into any kind of city or town, cities expect that they are going to have some residual, you know, revenue that will be created because you have tourists. Mm-hmm. Tourists bring money because they need to eat out. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that they're going to be able to eat in. They're going to book up rooms, so you get a quick economic boom. What you have to offset that with any city is what negative things are the band of tourists going to bring in. You know, are the event that's drawing them, is it drawing the wrong kind of crowd that you want to have around? Is it drawing a destructive crowd or a crowd that could turn destructive? Like, for instance, a Lollapalooza type thing where if, you know, very much as sometimes happens, facilities get backed up and, you know, things happen over multiple days, you know, could more damage than good be done and be costly. So you have to weigh those kinds of things when you're a city to figure out whether or not you want to have those kinds of influences and draws for people around.
So now let's look at the demographic of people who came for PAX East. Let's see. Smart, intelligent, slightly smelly.
Yeah, but that's with any nerd.
Yes, but yes.
And that's with any real, you know, multiple day convention. I mean, I've been to some business conventions with people in suits going, somebody did not use the complimentary soap this morning.
It's like you smell like ball sweat and Drakkar.
You smell like Drakkar and cigars.
That doesn't sound half bad.
No.
Sweaty balls and Drakkar is bad because
no,
it's like...
No, Drakkar and like cheap cigar is a nasty smell.
You didn't say... You just said cigar.
I'm sorry,
cheap.
I just said cheap.
I'm thinking Cubans. I'm like,
yeah, no. Cuban cigar smell awesome. Cheap-ass cigar that you got from the 7-Eleven, not so much. Dutch Masters. Anyway.
regardless.
You know, but here's the thing. I think that you're kind of, as much as I would love to say that that's the profile, let's be honest. From the perspective of the convention committee, when you say gamers, the group that you describe, which is the group that attends PAX East.
I'm talking consumers. Okay. I said, I am describing consumers, the basic line consumer.
Correct. But you have to remember, from the committee's perspective...
They're looking at the professionals who are coming,
They're looking at the professionals who are coming. They're looking at the stereotype for the audience that will be there. Which, you know, as much as people are hating on the what I really do meme that's been going around all week long, which, frankly, I am still enjoying the hell out of.
Oh, mean those ones with, like, it's, like, six different pictures, and it's, like,
yes.
What society thinks I am.
Yeah, what my parents think I am.
And then what I am, really.
Yeah.
I love those. I love those shits.
But frankly, you know, the committee is looking at, okay, well, this convention is about video games, and it's for the general public, as well as just fans. And parts and parcels are the looking for game rooms, where literally people are just going to be able to come in and sit down and play video games. It's not going to cost them anything additional to do so. They can play for hours. They don't have to leave.
Right.
Okay. Like, literally, I'm sure that these are things that factored in. We're going to have bean bags scattered all across the building. Mm. Hold on! That people are going to literally just be able to crash out on for hours at a time. So, the couch potato myth is perpetuated.
Yep.
Okay? It's a three-day-long convention. There will be sales of items. There will be cosplayers. There will be some that are good. There are going to be some
that are bad.
Okay, so, you know, from a convention standpoint, they probably went, well, the likelihood that this group will do any kind of damage
is minimal.
But is this the kind of group that we want to attract for 3 days a month each year for multiple years in this particular area? You know, because in the Heinz area, which is very much a more hipster.
Well, because that's like in the heart of the Back Bay.
Correct.
You're like right in the dead center of the Back Bay at Heinz.
Correct. So that kind of group, you know, probably made a lot of sense there. The fact that we outgrew that space very quickly, frankly, doesn't surprise me, but probably surprised the convention committee. So to move that collection of people to the BCEC, which is typically where a lot of our opera, BSO...
our bridal expos go.
It's the hoity-toity end, if you will, of the Back Bay. Was probably a large consideration. But after last year's event, where there were absolutely no issues...
None.
...whatsoever, there were no traffic issues, that the venue sold out, that... business that was brought into the BCEC as well as the surrounding hotels and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine there were a lot of taxis that were taken because there were quite a few parties and after day events that were
going
off-site.
Mm-hmm.
I think that more than likely, you know, all jokes aside, the cash ruled everything around them and they went, holy hell, look at
these well-behaved individuals
who infused our city with a shit ton of revenue, because I think last year's numbers were, what, topping 68,000 in attendance?
70,000.
See, I was close.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's a lot of new individuals and a lot of new dollars to be circulating around in that area.
Not to mention all the hearsay afterwards, but they all went back to their respective cities or countries and states and were like, you need to come with me to Boston next year.
Well, I think that doesn't surprise me, really, because frankly, last year's PAX East, and I've been to PAX Prime. I've been to PAX Prime twice.
I haven't. I got patched to a speaker there.
Yes, you did get patched through a
speaker.
No, you got patched through a speaker at E4All.
Oh, I thought it was PAX.
No, that was E4All.
PAX 2008. That's the one you went to.
Oh, yes, you did get patched through when we were all broadcasting from all games.
Yes.
I was in the corner of PAX Prime. Yep.
I was in a speaker.
You did get patched through a speaker there, but you also got patched through it at E4All, UON Magic, when we had the all games booth there, when Steve Wiebe was going for the...
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I remember that now. You did. But I think, as I try to get back on my horse that I fell off of into a tangent puddle, I had completely forgot what I was talking about before we went on the tangent.
Just the city was infused with...
Yeah, with revenue. I think that you kind of have to look at, you know, the dollars that came into the city. You got to look at the individuals that came into the city. And the individuals that left going, you got to come back with me. You know, frankly, the event last year was the most enjoyable PAX that I've been to. And that includes my PAX Primes, which is where I was getting, and my PAX East at the Heinz Convention Center. There was a lot of space. You know, it was easy to find some place to sit down and just chill, which doesn't always happen when you have an event that has so many people at it.
Yes.
You know, the issue that I had when I went to PAX Prime was because it was in two different buildings, you know, you had all of the Looking for Games and the tabletop really severely segregated from the electronic game side of it. And at the BCEC, you really only had one curtain. It wasn't really segregated.
And we still didn't even take up all the space at the BCEC.
There was still hordes of space. The taco truck pavilion, I freaking love that. I mean, it was just really very well thought out. It was really very well laid out. You know, there wasn't any real congestion.
No.
You know, which is hard whenever you go to any kind
of event. Even when you had to stand in lines for stuff, you didn't feel all scrunched into a queue.
You didn't have that sardine feel.
Absolutely not. No.
You know, even getting down from the main floor to the first floor, there were so many elevator banks and there were so many different ways to get down to the main floor that there was never any, like, real heavy crunch where I was waiting 15 minutes just to get on the escalator to get down. You know, that didn't happen. And so I think you know, you had a really great group of people. You had a really great diverse amount of entertainment between Gamers Gone Wild, which Team Esh is going to be at that party at Felt. It's like a done deal. We will be in the building. Find us.
Come check out my bazongas.
Sure, what she said.
Bazongas.
But you have so many different eclectic things that you can bring back. You know, PAX, unlike your E3s, because it's such a melding of consumer, enthusiast, and professional, you really get a real definitive sense of the community.
As like you get a really well-balanced representation of it.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that is very attractive. You know, as we sit here and talk right now, you know, the 3-day passes are already sold out.
Yep.
All gone.
Should have been on top of that, nerds.
Yep. All gone.
Guns it's okay, I'll take pictures for you.
Gunsy gun, gone, 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 gone.
And I'll do some videos.
Gone, 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 giddy, 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 gone, gone.
Bye.
Toodles.
Maybe next year.
So that stuff is really exciting to me to be aware that, you know, the tickets only went on sale a month ago.
And they're already, and the three ones are already gone.
And the 3-day pass is already gone.
But I mean, if you don't get the 3-day pass, you can just buy the 1-day passes for each day.
Yeah.
If you have that kind of bank.
And if they're still available.
It's like, I can only go on Friday. I can only go on Saturday. Oh, inner turmoil. Anyway. Turmoil. So yeah, so Boston is definitely going to profit, not only in revenue, but I think in diversity. And yeah.
Seriously, we're going to get plus 15 charisma.
We're going to look shiny and sparkly.
For the next 10 years.
But now.
That's a decade of bookings, people.
Man, oh my god.
Yeah, put it like that. For the next decade, we will have PAX East.
I'll be 38 in 10 years. Holy fuck wads. Anyway, that just opened my mind.
Pandalicious just had an epiphany.
So not only was I looking at what did this mean for Beantown, but I also thought, well, what does this mean for Petty Arcade?
You know, yeah!
Outside of, you know, being awesome and just showing us how awesome they are, but now we feel far more inclusive. We, as a whole, as a gaming community. Because before...
Well, you need to say that, because I'm like, we. I'm like, when did you start working for Penny Arcade?
Giant we. The royal we of gamers.
The more inclusive we of gamers.
Yes, the we would like to play gamers.
As opposed to the ennui of gamers.
Exactly.
I don't even know what that means, but go ahead.
I'm running with it. And I don't run, generally. But yeah, so now we're completely inclusive. Now, granted, you know, back before PAX East even hit here, a lot of us would save our pennies, for those of us who had jobs to save pennies.
Pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters,
bank notes, dollars. Bank notes,
I opened
all that
stuff. A Roth IRA.
You know, and they would save up, and I mean, they would work weird jobs so they could just hoard enough money, make their costume if they were like, you know, I'm going to go in style, and by style I mean, you know, full Master Chief costume.
I mean, I'm seriously considering whipping my Bleach costume out.
For PAX East.
For one day.
Well, they do have Bleach video games, so I guess
yeah,
you could get away with
Bleach
that.
Yeah, they have Bleach video games.
That's what you could just pretend to be a samurai from a fighter somewhere.
Exactly, but they also have the tabletop game.
Remember, I have rules about cosplay, so make sure I'll have to reprint that out so you know exactly my rules for that shit. Anyway.
I don't have to abide by your
yes,
standard
you,
rules.
Yes, you...
I am a ninja! And I'm older than you.
How can you be all, I'm a ninja, yet you got a samurai costume?
Because.
It's a conflict. You're conflicting it.
No.
Yes. You can't be a ninja samurai.
I can be a ninja
samurai.
No,
you can't.
Why the fuck can't I be a ninja samurai? I'm a new kind of ninja.
No.
I have Bushido.
Ping pong.
Ping pong.
No. Beep beep. That does not work.
Ping pong. Everyone calling.
Does not compute.
Yep. I can be an assassin, but also have a code about how I assassinate.
Anyway, I can't even...
Wrap your mind around that. Can't even go into it. No women, no kids.
But what if you're fighting another ninja warrior samurai who's a chick, who has a kid, like, who throws darts at you?
I will not kill.
Will you maim them horribly?
It goes against my code.
Would you maim them?
No.
So you would not harm them in any way, though they're
attacking. No women, no kids! What don't you understand about that?
Jason
Statham doesn't kill women and kids. I don't kill women and kids.
I'm sorry. If a bitch came at me with a sharp blade, I would sever her fucking head off.
So here's the thing. A bitch comes at me with a blade. I mean, I might knock her out, but that's not really maiming. I mean, I'm not, like, gonna take a token.
What if she cuts a good chunk of your arm off? Not
enough
so that
I'm gonna be severely pissed, but I would also have to then admit that I was a really shitty-ass ninja.
So I would sever her head.
See? So, I mean, if she takes my
arm... If it's red versus blue, and she's red, and I'm blue, well, you know what? I have to kill
you. I'm gonna force fit. No women, no kids! What don't you understand? It's my code. No women, no kids.
That's your code.
Okay.
Anyway, so getting back to where I was going, the inclusion. You know, so most of
I'm
us
so on, not getting to my most, anime stuff today.
Most of us in our East Coast and even Midwest would save up.
Is that what you're trying to get to?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yep.
And they would save up money, and they would go, and they'd make the trip, their pilgrimage to Prime.
Yeah, because you would pick one or two
major events
on the West Coast, and then you would just save up.
You would turtle your money.
Exactly. Find four or five roommates.
Maybe 10. Make it super cheap. Make sure they're all friends you don't mind cuddling with on the floor.
Make sure everyone was cool with eating ramen all week long.
Human puppy pile. And that's how you did it.
Yep.
And now they've expanded over the country. So now it's easier to experience it
makes it much more, you know, the whole thing about Penny Arcade and the thought behind PAX to begin with Prime was to make an event that was inclusive, right? You know, you have these big events, Tokyo Game Show and E3 and GDC, which are closed
and Gamescom.
Which are closed to very specific groups. Although Gamescom's open.
Yeah, but how many people do you know are like, I'm going to Germany, bitch?
Like, I can name four right off the hand.
Inclusive to the people who have the money to make the trip.
But I'm talking about as far as actually being able to attend events. You know, you've got your GDCs, your Tokyo Game Shows, and your E3s, which are big events that we all know about in the community, but frankly, they're closed events because they're only open to journalists, media, and developers, okay? Hoi Polloi can't go to GDC, Hoi Polloi can't go to E3, Hoi Polloi can't go to Tokyo Game Show, okay? So, the thought behind E3 initially was to have an event that wasn't like that, that was open to the consumer, as well as the professional, as well as the development houses, where they, you know, could game and just be the community for a couple of games. And, you know, when PAX first started, you didn't have a lot of big name developers that came out. It was mostly the community events, you know, for us. You know, I remember the first PAX that I went to, there were like, I want to say like 5 or 6 rock band stages that were set up all over the venue. And you could just jump up with a group of people and play and have fun. But like they had stage lights and they had the fog machine and, you know, one was out there, the eating area and things like that. And so
you could get entertained while you were eating your
Exactly.
Tacos.
So, but it was by other gamers. It wasn't by, you know, the booth babes or a set group of people who were supposed to perform, you know, every 15 minutes or something like that. So you had these random songs that would come on and, you know, people that would be performing, and it was just like, you know, your friends down the hallway, and people would finish the song, and even people who weren't watching them play would like stop as they were walking the hallways and, you know, give them air high fives and a round of applause and, you know, scream, I want your baby, you know, just stupid
give
shit.
It to me,
you know, but fun stuff. And then you'd walk into a L4G room and you'd see, you know, the tabletop guys, and you'd see, you know, the people that brought their machines to land.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and compete. And it was just really, really cool, but it was mostly that with a couple of, you know, developers, which at the time you would more say were closer to being indie developers than anything else. And then because it was so well attended and because it had so much hype, the following year, you had more of the big shot developer guys come, especially because it got tied around the Child Play charity, which a lot of the community gets behind, which is always great. But you started then having the meld of the big guys understanding, here's a way for us to get direct feedback from the consumer before something hits Golden Master, because, frankly, the set of critiques that you're going to get from even the likes of us versus Joe Schmo and his kid, it's going to be a little bit different. And so they started seeing value in that, in addition to being amongst the community. And it was just more inclusive. And I think that that's one of the things that sometimes I notice when we go to E3 that I feel like is missing just a little bit that I get from PAX, which is the feeling of inclusion. You know, E3 is just, it's a workhorse. You got 3-4 appointments, you know, 5 if you're enterprising, and an overachiever.
Yep.
And you're getting the same set of information, you're getting 15 minutes on a demo, you're finding 45 minutes someplace to write something, you're getting it done.
And then you're off to the next one.
And then you're off to the next one, then maybe you take a pee break, but there isn't any real...
Let's sit down and chew the fat about, what did you think about this? There's none of that in a personable, relatable sense.
Right. There's no new people that you bump into and strike up a conversation with about what you just played.
Nope.
Because they're off to the next one. So there's not the sense of belonging and inclusion.
As it is fact relaying.
Exactly. And so I think that that's why PAX as a whole is just so attractive. And I think the reason why the people that come to PAX are the people that come to PAX, and the reason why Boston decided, yes, this is an event that we want in our backyard for the next decade, not just because of the revenue that it brings in, but because of the class of people that it brings in, and frankly, the community that it brings in. You know, the gaming community as a whole is one of the more giving and passionate, even though the stereotype says the opposite, groups of... any fan community out there, frankly. Okay.
I would agree.
I haven't heard of any Twilight groups popping up that do charity work. Okay,
Child's Play. Save the Wolves!
Child's Play is a big piece.
Save the Vampires!
Child's Play is a big piece of Penny Arcade and what they do, and I think that it is a phenomenal charity to be involved in.
So give if you can.
You know, and... you look at, you know, the diversity of people that come in, parents that bring their kids, you know.
Dudes who bring their girlfriends who bring their girlfriends.
Girlfriends who bring their boyfriends. Dudes, you know.
Chicks who bring their whole gaming crew, their gaming posse to come and represent.
We love you chicks, by the way. Like, so much we have the love. It's just very, very cool to me to know that we have this event in our backyard for the next 10 years.
Hell yeah,
and frankly,
backyard.
It lets me now not have to focus on going to PAX Prime.
Right.
Because I think that, you know, getting to what you're getting to is, you know, you can only have so many people in a venue, right? You have a finite amount of space.
Yeah, the space doesn't grow just because your mass grows.
And so I think that it makes a lot of sense to have an event on the East Coast that is actually... doable, reachable, attainable, if you will, to a certain set of people, which is basically, you know, your Midwest and to the right.
Yep.
And then you've got your Midwest and to the left with PAX Prime.
Yep.
You know, and so now on the East Coast you have, at least for us, Anime Boston, you have Katsucon and Otakon,
which and MAGFest.
Yeah, you've got MAGFest.
Which we need to go to.
Yeah, I know.
We need to come to MAGFest.
I know. I still want to go to South by Southwest.
See, you should go there, and I should go to MAGFest.
I'm not allowed to go to South by Southwest.
I have no one telling me what the fuck to do.
I'm not being told what the fuck to do. I'm being told what the fuck I'm not going to do.
Anyway.
And what I'm not going to do is go to Nerd Spring Break.
I want to go to Nerd Spring Break.
Shut up. So, but again, you know, it's attainable for us. You know, New York Comic Con. We are going to New York Comic Con next year. I have no idea how I'm going to work it out, but I'm going to work it out, and we are going to New York Comic Con.
I might have to worry about stuff.
You better hook a sister up, because sister's been hooking you up for like a while now.
I know.
Like a while now.
I know.
Like for reals, though. Enough of play.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. but you know, really for us on this side of the team, it's really going to be New York Comic Con, PAX East. I'll probably send you to MAG.
I
want to
go to MAGFest.
Yeah, I'll probably send you to MAGFest.
Yay, MAGFest!
And E3 really will be the things. Like, my events are going to be PAX East, New York Comic Con, and E3. I'm not going to make the effort to do CES anymore. It
hurts.
It does, you know, whereas, you know, team members that are on the other side of the division line, if you will, you know, I'm going to let them do the Macworld and the
GDCs and the...
Yeah, you know, I wish I had the time to do GDC. I think there's a lot of value in it, and a lot of great connections, but...
Maybe one day.
You know, we got ESH West, we got ESH East, and so it's...
We need ESH Texas. We just need, because it's a big state.
ESH, Texas.
Like, we should have a site.
It's in like Texas. NCIS, Texas.
ESH, Texas. Yeah.
ESH, New York. ESH, LA.
But then we wouldn't need us in Boston, because...
Yes, we would.
ESH, Boston.
How about ESH, New England?
Yeah.
SU.
And Texas.
And Texas.
Anyway. Midland,
Texas. But seriously, you know, the jokes aside, it's very cool to know that we've got an event that will definitely bring money to the city,
yep.
Bring travelers to the city, that won't bring, you know, destruction, terror, and mayhem.
And I think it brings a lot of talent. Like, we get a shitload of talent that come into the city.
We do.
Big names.
You know, I mean, we joke, but there's going to be a lot of people visiting. And it's going to be a big weekend because you got, you know, the anime nerds right around the corner.
Like I said, this could be a musical bloodbath.
I'm just going to tell you right now, there very well may be completing Flash Mobs.
Yep.
And we will have to cover the hell out of both of them. But we are definitely looking forward to PAX East this year and PAX East for the next 10 years to come.
Yay!
ESH will be in the building. You better believe.
Now, there is... one more thing,
oh, Lordy Jesus,
that I need to talk about.
Wow.
And it is breaking news.
Busticated news! Wait, no, not busticated.
No, just break. It's just breaking news.
Oh, okay.
It's not like Breaking Bad. It's breaking good news. It's good news that gets to break.
I like Breaking Bad. All right, go ahead.
So we all know, well, those of us who go to PAX East, that there are concerts that happen two nights of the three.
Mm-hmm. Usually, hi, Justin Colton. I love you, Justin Colton. I love you so
Pollen
much.
Storm. Throwing my panties at you this year.
What's up, MC Frontalot? You Frontalot.
Regardless. Usually, you know, Jonathan Colton and Paul and Storm will perform on the last night, because they're more or less like the headliners.
Yep.
But regardless, we get a big flash of video game music thrown at us the whole entire experience.
Nerd culture in your face and ear holes.
We're making art. Mm-hmm. We're making gaming art. Yep. We're covering gaming art. And with that said... some really good news. A local band.
Hold on.
We interrupt this program for a CBS Radio Net Alert Bulletin.
This is a Pandalicious exclusive.
Yeah. So a local band right out of the Salem area. They've been performing in Salem for a while now.
That'd be Salem, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Salem, not New Hampshire. Well, I mean, they might go to New Hampshire. I don't know.
There's a lot of Salems.
They're actually engaging in a mini tour right now. And I have the distinct privilege to tell everybody that The World is Square will be performing at PAX East this year. Now, you're probably going, who is this?
What is La Fouque?
What? What do they do? Why should I be excited? Well,
and who did you just say?
Exactly. So I'm going to say it again.
Say it again.
The World is Square.
The World is Square. That's the name of the band.
That's the name of the band. Is performing at PAX East on April 7th.
Woohoo!
Yay! So now let me tell you what they do and why they're awesome and why you need to listen to them.
Yep.
So they are a Final Fantasy cover band. So if you're an RPG nut... like me.
Like Pandalicious.
And you happen to be either a Square Enix lover, apologist, or whateverist, like me.
Let her ride no one, yeah.
You are going to want to
You're going to flip your shit.
You're going to want to open your ear holes.
So you can flip your shit.
about this experience. And I've been, and you can find them performing on YouTube. They do have a YouTube page.
We're going to share some of their music in the podcast, and we'll make sure that we link to their site, because we're friends with them on Facebook, on the podcast notes as well.
And you should be friends with them too, because locals should support locals.
Not even locals supporting locals, because this reaches more than just the Boston area. But frankly, nerds should support nerds making art.
And music.
And music is art.
So.
Just in case you didn't know.
Just in case.
Donate
April 7th. If you're not, you know, interviewing anybody or you're competing in something and you want to listen to some good music and you happen to like the Final Fantasy, you know, orchestral archive.
Band is going to shoot some video and share it with you.
Yep.
I'm going to volunteer that shit right now. She's going to record that shit.
And on top of that, who's to say that a certain lovable Pandalicious character may not, with KBD, actually get to talk to the band a little bit about their inspiration and what led them to
Don't pussyfoot about it. You're going to interview them.
We are most likely going to get some on time with The World Is Square. So, obviously, I will be keeping you guys in the loop as
you gonna get news. It.
I might get it.
You gonna get it.
I might get it. If I get it, you guys will hear about it. So, like I said, be pumped. Be excited. This is totally something to be really happy about, and I'm really happy about it. Yay!
I know. Again, your grin looks like...
Oh, my face hurts. But regardless, so that is my breaking news. Yep. My exclusive.
World of Square is playing PAX East on the 7th.
On the 7th. Yay!
All right, so that's all... That sums up all of our PAX stuff.
Yes.
For now, right?
Is there any more... Time for news. God, I did it again.
Keep doing it. So I check Netflix pretty much every Wednesday to see if there's anything new worth watching. And for once, there actually was some new stuff. And the anime that I'm going to talk about is called Rosario Plus Vampire. I have no idea if the actual name is Rosario and Vampire or Rosario Vampire, because you never know how the plus is interpreted.
As long as it's not an X.
Yeah, it's not an X. It's not an X. It's a plus. It is definitely an addition symbol.
Yes, just... Or maybe it's a cross.
Oh. No, because then it would have been actually designed graphically as a cross.
Maybe. They might have been lazy, but regardless.
No, because then the vertical line would have been longer.
Tell me about the premise!
Alright. So basically, what you have is you start out with this kid... And in the anime series, they call him Tsukune Ono. That's not his name. That's not his name. Because his name is spelled T-S-U-K-U-N-O. So is that not Tsukuno?
Wait, say it. Spell it again.
T-S-U.
No. Nope.
Hold on. K-U-N-E. So would you not say Tsukune?
Yeah, that's true.
So his name is not Tsukune, which is what they call him, and how they say his name.
Maybe because the voice actors were like, I can't say this shit.
Like, how is...
Like, can we abbreviate that?
But how difficult is it to say Tsukune? Tsukune.
Tsukune!
As opposed to saying Tsukune.
Tsukune!
That's like somebody...
Sounds like Spoonie!
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm gonna call him Tsukune. His mama named him Tsukune, I'm gonna call him Tsukune. He's not Tsukune. He's Tsukune.
Maybe the kanji is different, so it could be said either way. Or maybe that's the male way of saying it. Maybe it's
Or maybe when they were doing the first roll of AD work, somebody put a typo and they forgot the U after the S, and everyone was like,
And they were like, we don't have enough money to go back, so we're just gonna run call with it.
That's more likely.
Maybe.
What anyway. Happened? But anyway, because it says... Studio Gonzo anime series.
Yes.
That's what I saw.
Sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
So anyway, Panelist is just over here flipping me off.
I have a cut on my middle like, finger.
Fuck you. I did my PAX thing. Ugh. So in the anime series, Tsukune is kind of depressed because... His friends are going off to high school, and he failed his exam, so he didn't get in. And so he has to wait another year.
You're a dumb fuck. That sucks.
So he has to wait another year before you can try again.
You gotta repeat. Key fact, I repeated first grade.
Pandalicious fact.
Yep.
Bing.
There you go.
So, he's a little depressed. He goes home. His parents are dancing in the kitchen. And he's trying to figure out why. And his dad's like, because of me, you're gonna get to go to school now. And he's like, what are you talking about? And you see a flash of his dad kind of drunkenly walking behind a person nun? Who looks like a nun.
Kind of.
And, because you never see their face, just a shadow and no distinguishing factors at all. No mouth, no nose, nothing. And the nun just happens to drop acceptance papers into a school called Yokai Academy. And it just so happens to be a freshman acceptance letter for a male student. Okay. And so Tsukune reads this and is like, excuse me, how am I supposed to just go to a school that you found an acceptance letter that you picked up off the ground? Like, really?
We don't care how you're going to do it. We're just going to put you on the bus.
And so the parents are like, nope, nope. We're just so excited because you don't have to wait to go to a year now to go to school. And it's going to be great. So Tsukune gets his school uniform.
That conveniently fits him.
Conveniently fits him perfectly. Goes to the bus to go to Yokai Academy. Which
that
is the name
only
of the
has him in it.
That... For should've some been. Reason, he's the only person on the bus going to the school. He travels through this tunnel on the bus with a bus driver who's kind of an ominous dude.
Most bus drivers are.
Yeah, but he...
A little bit more ominous than... But yeah. Regardless, this magical tunnel...
He always
tunnel.
Talks from a position of sort of omnipotence.
It's like, hey, shit's gonna go down at this place.
Exactly, exactly. I'm not gonna tell you what.
But.
I'm not gonna tell you when. But kid, this school's weird.
You're
like, whatever.
You're not gonna like this school, dude.
He goes to the tunnel, he comes out the other end of the tunnel, and there's a sign that basically is a jack-o'-lantern.
It's like a jack-o'-lantern. Scarecrow. Yes, it's a jack-o'-lantern scarecrow.
Type
and,
thing. That
and
just,
the overlooking of the water is like blood red.
Yeah. But this does not faze.
Our
Tsukune.
Protagonist.
Because he, anyway!
Because he's a dumb fuck.
He gets off the bus and is like, la 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 la, I guess that's the school over there.
Oh my god, there's something following me. Why is it? What is it?
I'm gonna walk through this ominous forest. But I'm not gonna make any comments about it. So he goes through and hears a noise. Gets hit in the back by a bicycle.
With now, a hot chick on it.
Now, I'm going to preface this to saying, this series is chock full of fan service. Lots and lots and lots of fan service.
I said a bang, bang, bangity bang. I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
Bang, bang, bang. There's boobies, there's panty shots, and there is adult language.
Tram?
Well, here's the
tasteful
thing.
No bush.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. So, although I can't say that outside of like porn anime, like hentai, that I've ever seen bush.
I've seen bush.
Wait, outside of hentai anime.
Yes, I've seen bush.
In what?
Kite.
I didn't watch Kite.
There's bush in Kite.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
She's an assassin who fucks you before she fucks. Yeah. But it's not hentai because you don't see the full action of the fuck. Like, she's getting down and all of a sudden a giant, like, machete comes out of nowhere and she kills people.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, this bush. Oh, and there's also Bush in Perfect Blue.
Didn't watch that either.
It's not hentai, but it's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, okay. All right, so, moving right along. See, I learned something.
Boing. The more you know.
Tsukune meets this girl named Mocha. Spelled M-O-K-A. And Mocha is really sweet. She's got long
like
pink
chocolate.
Hair. Yeah, she is. She's got really long pink hair. She's got jade green eyes.
She has big titties.
She does have some pretty...
Decent titties.
Yeah. There's people with bigger titties down there.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there's
some titties.
There's a lot of face in the titties, by the way, in this series. Anyway, so Mocha apologizes for hurting Tsukune, and they have, you know, the typical, ooh, I woke up and, oh my god, my hand's on your thigh, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to touch you, I'm not trying to be, like, a pedophile or you know, a pervert or anything like that. But it turns out that Mocha is a vampire.
No!
Yeah. And she wears this rosary, which is a big cross, with a
red... For those who didn't know what a rosary was... Well, a rosary's not necessarily the cross. That's the beads on the cross.
It's the entire bead necklace piece with a cross in the end. So that's why I wanted to explain that she doesn't actually wear a rosary like a nun.
I don't know, because part of her necklace thing has beads
on it. Correct. So it could... But really, when they talk about the rosary in the series, they're talking about the cross piece. And so she basically explains... that she's a vampire, and she bites him, and she always bites him in, like, the cutest, like, little nibble way. It almost, like, looks like a hickey.
I can't help myself. I'm
you
sorry.
You just smell so good. And he's like, you smell good, too. And then she bites him. But he still is not believing that anything is weird.
No, like, she tells him that she's a vampire.
And
like,
she bites
him.
And so he's like, oh, but it doesn't really hurt. But if she wants to, you know, classify herself as a vampire, I'll be okay with it, because she's really cute. So she asks if he has any problems with vampires. He's like, absolutely not. I have no problems whatsoever with vampires. And she's like, I'm so excited. We're going to be friends now. So they go to school, and they're in the same class, and they have a cat girl teacher. Tsukune still has not picked up on the cat ears on the teacher or anything being...
Well, because, believe it or not, they're really smart about making her ears kind of look like she could just have weird patchy
until
hair.
Her tail pops out.
Yeah. Well, she waited till the very end to pop out that
tail.
And
then, tail. It, you know, when she gets really excited, it, like, goes all exclamation point on it. Still, Tsukune, nothing.
Yeah, monsters. Monsters?
And
no.
then he's like, no.
They're just delinquents or something.
So, Yokai Academy is a school that is hidden from the human world by the three dark overlords. And basically, the premise of the school is to educate monsters and educate them in a way that will allow them to coexist with humans, since humans have pretty much overrun the world. And there's more humans than there are monsters. Not every monster...
Humans are dandelions.
Not every monster subscribes to the whole...
philosophy of
humans
not...
Humans and the monsters can be friends.
Hello, Sesame Street. It worked for Sesame Street.
I know, but they didn't watch Sesame Street, obviously.
In those unorthodox monster homes, they did not watch Sesame Street.
So you get through and you have your typical, you know, setup for a harem, right? You've got some badass dudes who this unassuming, non-powerful guy is going to have to stand up to, and because of that, girls are going to fall for him, and then he's going to have to pick, but he's already met the one that he's like head over heels for. He just hasn't been able to accept it yet. But there are a lot of running gags in this anime that just make it fun, even though it's a harem, and you know what the formula is already.
The only thing that they never really specify in the formula is how he really chooses who he chooses.
Well, they actually kind of do that a little bit in this series, if you watch both the first arc and the second arc of the anime. So, Rosario plus Vampire was actually a manga that was done back in, I want to say, like, 2007, 2008. And then they did the first run of 13 episodes for the anime in, I want to say, 2009, and the second one ran in 2010. And then, not ADV, but Funimation licensed it
no
in 2011.
No wonder why the voice acting did, sounds familiar.
Yeah, and then did all 26 episodes, so... You can actually see both arcs 1 and 2 on Netflix. And like I said, there are running gags. So, obviously, they've got to create some additional conflict at the school. And so, humans are not allowed to go to the school. Humans aren't supposed to be able to actually enter the premises. And
so
if
maybe
they
our
do,
main character is actually a monster and he doesn't know it.
Well, if they do, they're killed. They're executed.
Right. So he didn't get killed on the spot, so maybe he's a monster or has latent monster abilities.
Well, so here's the deal. They have these three rules. Okay, the first rule is that all of the students have to stay in their human form the entire time that they're on campus. The second rule is that they cannot, under any circumstances, tell any other student what their monster form is. And the third one...
don't get boom boom jiggy jiggy with the opposite sex.
No.
Just kidding.
Humans will be killed. Those are the three rules. So when you look at the whole series, you're kind of like, well, if it's a school for only monsters, why do you have to stay in your human form? Because everybody there is a monster. Everybody knows everybody there is a monster.
But, but if they're trying to teach them how to be able to live amongst humans,
okay,
they can't be roaming around in their monster form next door to their neighbors.
Then why is the follow-up to that is, and never disclose what your monster form is?
Well, because maybe there's a hierarchy of monsters, like they do in most anime series. So depending on what kind of monster you are, you'd be like, I'm a better monster than you. And then you've got, like, anarchy at your school, which is like a delinquent school, which is...
I think that the rules were set up so that they could try and sneak some humans in. If the overall goal is to have monsters and humans coinciding and working together, you make these rules so that a human comes in, nobody questions that everybody there is a monster because...
Tell everybody that they're monsters.
Exactly. But you force everyone to stay in a human form so that everybody looks human. You tell everyone that you cannot disclose what your monster form is. So even when you're just chilling in your dorm, you're like, no, dude, what kind of monster are you? I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
Well, unless you're a delinquent. You're like, I'm going to tell you anyway.
Which happens, right?
Right.
So,
which you know is going to happen throughout the whole thing.
You get towards the end of the episode and... Tsukune has decided that he's going
to
go back home.
And not to mention, if they're having the whole issue of not revealing what kind of monster you are, wouldn't the teacher showing her tail and her ears kind of...
Yeah! You would think!
Because, I mean, don't
get... Yep. Anyway, that's another story. So you get towards the end of the first episode, because again, this is all just being, you know,
brought... This is all exposition.
This is all exposition in episode one. You get to the end of the episode, and Tsukune has pretty much decided that he's going to go back home, because... He ends up getting thrown into a
vending machine
by this big brute of a dude who's your typical asshole delinquent. You know, slick back hair,
yep. All that kind of stuff. Think of the guy from Future Diary.
With the pompadour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of attitude.
Yeah. Because he wants to get Mocha, because she's... pretty much the hottest girl.
Oh my god, campus. She's so hot. I think I'm in love. Yeah, because that's how that works. Yeah.
And so he decides that he's leaving campus and kind of asks Mocha, you know, if she would still care about him leaving and want to be friends if, you know, he wasn't a monster. And she's like...
Add me on Monster Book.
Because he's like, I think I need to go to a human school. And she's like, no, you can't. I've gone to human schools, and they're really cold, and they're really cruel, and, you know, I don't like humans.
They're horrible, and they judge you because you're different. Welcome to life, sweetheart.
And so he goes about his business and is trying to find the bus stop. Mocha eventually goes after him. The brute of a dude comes after her and transforms into an ogre.
Totally licks all over like it looks like it could be semen.
Yeah, there's a lot of
like,
that.
Like, I'm marking my territory. Now it's sound effects.
Okay. So anyway, ew. And then, so... They go about their way. Mocha lets it be known to Tsukune that, yes, she is a vampire, but she's actually not in her true form right then and there, which I kind of thought was like, well, duh, because everyone's supposed to be in their human-like form. But she lets him know that it's the rosary that's around her neck that's actually containing her vampire powers. She can't herself take it off.
But somebody else can.
And they never go into exactly what the qualifications are for somebody to take the rosary off of her.
Maybe it has to be somebody who she's bitten.
I don't know. But anyway, bad dude going after him, fighting him, going after Mocha. She's covered in the saliva thing. Tsukune comes and tries to stand up to him, gets thrown off a cliff. She goes falling off the cliff. He's kind of like, I think I'm going to die, but I still want to be your friend or whatever. And he reaches his hand up to go touch her face, and he misses, and he puts his hand on the rosary, and the rosary comes flying off, and then the long-tongued ogre dude comes down, and all of a sudden, you have a pretty girl transformation. Now, in the first episode, you don't actually get the narration that pops up, but there is a narration that pops up in every episode after that when she does her pretty girl transformation. And it basically explains every single time that when the rosary around her neck, the rosary... on her breast, I'm sorry, that's what it said, is taken off. She reverts into her true form, which her hair goes from being pink to silver, Her eyes go from being green to red. Her ass gets bigger. Her boobs get bigger.
And her voice changes.
And her voice changes.
She hits puberty every time.
Every single time. And she kicks ass. And so here's where the formulaic things come in that I really enjoy that are funny. So every time she does her transformation, that narration goes off, which is just hysterical. When she has a fight, at the end of the fight, this cutesy little bat pops up, who provides some narration for the episodes, and tells you how long that conflict lasted.
Like, this one was really fast.
Exactly. But other ones are like, that whole conflict only took 34 seconds. Every time she wins, because basically vampires are one of the strongest classes of monsters, and they're actually fabled to still be in existence. Like, a lot of people don't see them. They're rated as an S-class monster. And so, pretty much...
So there are classes in monsterism.
Correct. And they're, like, on the upper echelon of it. So pretty
they're
much...
Always at the, they're always in the mezzanine.
Pretty much. Nobody stands a chance. Like, there's... They got seats and shit. Right. It's not
they always have access to the backstage.
And so that sets up the rest of the series. It's Tsukune and Mocha knowing Tsukune's secret.
And her knowing his secret.
Yep. And her protecting of him and their budding relationship. Like, he really, really cares and likes being her friend and vice versa. But they also have a budding romance, and so there are times where, like, they'll be talking, and literally, like, the pretty, pretty pink bubbles will pop up, and they'll be like, oh, Mocha. And like, oh, Tsukune.
Oh, Mocha.
Tsukune. And they'll start getting close, and then something will come in and, like, interrupt the whole shit. That's just, like, completely wacky and off the charts and stuff. But that happens every single episode. Every single one. The sign-off for every single episode is her not being able to stand it and having to bite him. And it shows, it goes to black screen and has her lips pop up. And he's like, again with the biting! And I'm like, what, are you Jewish? So that happens in every episode.
Wait, Jews don't bite?
No, the way that he complains about it. Again with the biting.
Oh, okay.
So there's that pops up. It basically is the structure of a harem. So there are other females that he meets that, you know, start off as being enemies, but then something happens. He ends up defending them, saving them in some way, you know, still being a human. And so they fall in love with him. And so then the girls themselves all have the, I'm going to be Tsukune's wife and I'm going to be Tsukune's wife. And then there are some chicks' parents that come into the whole mixture. And then they want to get with Tsukune. And he's just like, what? There's a lot of, like I said, titties.
Trim.
No trim. Fan service. Boob squeezing. Like a lot. Like so much. There are multiple characters who just like to jump and hump Tsukune, and rub their boobs on him often.
Oh, like a human washcloth.
Yeah, that sponge. Happens. That happens, quite a bit. There is some action. There's, like I said, foul language. People say shit and fuck a lot. Say shit and say fuck a lot. They don't fuck a lot.
They fuck
there's
shit.
There's a dominatrix teacher who's...
There's always one.
Serpent. And, she likes to screw knowledge into student...
She fucks people smart? She fucks them smartly? Smartly fucking?
There's...
That's a great way to learn.
I can't really explain
it
right.
It's like, we're gonna study. I'm gonna get on your man piece now.
Well, she... Like I said, she's a dominatrix teacher, so she
makes... like, what's 2 + 2?
She makes...
Smack!
She makes Tsukune get down on all fours.
Sweet.
And then first she rides him like a horse for a little bit, side saddle.
Yep, but
then
breaking him in.
Then she doesn't ride him side saddle, and then he's, like, reciting the Pythagorean theorem, and she's getting all excited, and you see her, like, reach for her underwear, and she's like, yeah, that's right, formulate that formula for me. Oh, yeah, we're gonna do this.
Conjugate
this so hard, verb. Baby. And then you see her, like, literally reach behind her and snap her underwear off, and you're like, she's about to fuck him brilliant. And then you see the next scene, you're like, what the fuck?
Not only is his IQ rising, people.
So it's an interesting series. Like I said, all 26 episodes are on Netflix, you've got to watch it. It is just, it is so out there at times.
Yeah, no shit.
But it's not like Nanaka out there or like Full Metal Panic Fumofu out there.
I like Fumofu.
No, I think if you like Fumofu, you'll like this too, because it's just out there. But it actually does have a really cute thing about relationships and not judging a book by its cover.
Right.
Because you basically have a split personality vampire.
Yeah, she's manic.
Who's in love with a human.
I think that actually her real form and her non-real form in some way or another has an attraction to him. Because she could have, like, just fucked him up after she saved him. But correct. She didn't.
So, Rosario plus Vampire. It's on Netflix now.
On Netflix now!
You can check out the manga because it is still in print, actually. And is,
go fucking read!
Currently in, Shonen Jump. So, that's what I got.
Be active!
Yeah, it's funny as shit. And there's titties, so there you go.
Bouncies!
And literally.
Bouncy, 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 bouncy.
Yeah. Yeah. Bouncy. Oh, yeah, and tentacle molestation. I forgot that, but we'll get to that another time. So, with that, yes. You should check us out on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is... that's what happens when you're BRB.
Yep. Which is ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce to the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments should go to mailbag@landofash.com. We are available on iTunes for your listening pleasure, so go there and check us out.
That's right. You can get episodes of our podcast the moment that we put them out on the webs for consumption by subscribing to our podcast either through the iTunes Music Store or the Zune Marketplace by searching for Electric Sisterhood and clicking that subscribe button. But that's not the only way you can get our podcast. No.
You can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Ash. We have new episodes of our podcast that go out on Mondays, but you can follow your nerd needs up on Tuesdays with a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, which is co-hosted by our homeboy King Baby Duck, which is basically like the dude version of our podcast, sprinkled in with sports and theater
and grunting
and movies and, yeah, grunting man sounds type things. So there's that.
They pick things up and put them down.
Then on Wednesday, you can get your nerd need fed, you know, like in your head with knowledge and shizzles.
Like on with gadgetry, like and equations and shit.
With
like coding and shit.
Geek Aggro.
Programming your brain.
Which is hosted by our homeboy, Deuces Wild. And for the rest of the week, carrying your nerd needs. Because that's what we do. We carry them. Well, there's all the stuff that we write on our
There's only one
websites.
Pair of footprints in the sand.
Wow. I mean, wow.
And they're not mine. Because bitch, you heavy. Give me that wheelbarrow.
Anyway, there's all the stuff that we write on our respective websites. You can check them out each individually, which we highly recommend because we like seeing traffic to our website.
Please come and visit!
You can always get it collectively, the most recent things that have been written at landofesh.com. Additionally, you can cop the most recent issue of our magazine, print or digital form, at landofesh.com as well. You can interact with us on Twitter. You can comment on our stuff, which we like, on Electric Sisterhood right now using Facebook. We'll be rolling that out to the other ESH Network sites here pretty quickly as well. So that way you can carry your comments and Facebook it and all that good stuff. But you can also interact with us on Facebook on our fan page at facebook.com/landofesh. You can ask us questions, suggest things for us to take a look at and review, just chit-chat with us in general, find out what's coming up on all of our shows and our sites respectively, as our community manager is holding it down.
And don't forget, on Fridays, you can actually see me in video on our YouTube page.
YouTube's like a mother what? We're also all over Twitter. You can check out everyone who makes it the Land of Ash by following my list from my page, twitter.com/ninjasister, and checking out the Land of Ash list. man, we are so all up in your tubes, stealing your base and whatnot. It's ridiculous. So there's no excuse to not interact with us and check out our wares. But not wares, because we don't do illegal software. We just do awesome stuff on the webs. So, shit you dig this week, Panda!
Land sharks.
Wow. Okay.
It's a shark that's on land.
Yeah, dig it.
Land shark.
Yeah, land shark. Yep. Dig it.
What do you dig this week?
I'm still digging the Mass Effect 3 stuff from Razer. Okay? I'm like this fucking close to buying.
That's pretty close.
I know, it's really close. I'm like,
it's like, but I think your tips are touching.
But I just bought our airfare for an E3, so probably not. But if you are in the neighborhood of needing some new gaming gear, either for your PC rig or for your console, and by your console I mean your Xbox 360, because Mass Effect is going to be on Xbox 360 and also on the PC, you can get, for realsies though, one of their great performing mice with the NS17.
It has a collar on it. Just kidding, it's not that kind of mouse.
One of the performance mats, which definitely helps with latency when you're dealing with an optical mouse. For your PC rig, they have one of their keyboards that, again, is all in the NS7 theme. So instead of the traditional green lighting that Razer uses for their LEDs, it actually has red NS7 lighting and pinstriping. And but they also have a Anza that is in the NS7 theme. It's all for pre-order right now. RazerZone.com. You should absolutely check it out. I'm digging that shit.
RazerZone.
And seeing as how they need to replace my Anza anyway because it's fucked up, I'm going to see if I can get them to actually replace it with one of the NS7 ones.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, but I'm going to see.
Don't, because you'll pass out.
I know. So that's what I'm digging. And that's the show. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Panalicious.
We'll catch you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Prepare your ear holes for a taste of the musical stylings of The World is Square.